Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right, part two, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. What do you want to start with? Have you got some names for me?
Well, no. Which
you is... haven't, have you? Because we're just doing this in one go. This is last week's episode. Just
well, this
carried
is part
over.
Two of our Christmas
it
bumper
is.
Special.
Let's not lie about it.
Yeah?
We haven't got together twice over Christmas. Why would we do that?
I'm offering you one thing, which is Buttery Paul. Are you interested?
Yeah, I'll take Buttery Paul, yeah, because, you know, beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah? Well,
well, the Times Rich List is just in for 2017. The Sunday Times Richard, should I say, and you're on there again, but you're not in, you're not among the company that you've been in previous years. You're alongside Curry Katona,
right?
Jeff Capes and Pudsey the Wonder Dog.
All righty, old.
So, fallen on hard times, have you, Bob?
So, what number am I?
There isn't a number.
Oh, just it's just a bucket.
It's
at the
just
bottom.
Like it's like a kind of a mass, like a sort of a shape.
Yeah.
And it's quite a thin.
Well, that's fair
shape.
Enough because I am skint. You know, I mean, that's where I expected to be honest with you. Do you think you'll ever get an award in the New Year's Honours Awards list?
It's very unlikely.
Well, do you why, think you're saying that?
What have I done to deserve anything from anybody?
Well, I don't know. What did Tony Robinson do? He's a lord, isn't he? Or a laird or something?
He is. I don't know. What Blackadder?
Yeah, well, he did his job, didn't
Time
he?
Team.
You do your job,
this
don't you?
This is a job.
Well, you do a job, don't you? I presume you work.
No, I just do
I've
this.
I've never actually asked you, have you got a job?
I've got a job. I just do this.
So you're up in Sunderland, are you on the benefits?
Well, yeah.
No, you're not. You wouldn't dare do this if you were on the benefits.
Well, I get paid for it, do I? So, you know.
Bloody hell.
It's like work experience.
I mean, if I look at you,
Yeah.
And my first instinct was to say that you would have a trade. If I look just, I don't know you, I look at you, I would say plumber, welder sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then it hit me. Do you know what you are?
What
you're the bloke who turns up to change, you know, auto screen or something? Where they change your windscreen.
Yeah.
You're that bloke. That's what you naturally are equipped to do.
Yeah. Because I've got the easy banter.
No, no, it's just physically.
The ready wit and the sort of laid back style.
You've
reassurance.
Got, you look quite reliable. So the bloke, he'd answer the door, right? And he said, oh, I don't love it. It's the bloke from Autoglass. And she said, what's he look like? He says, oh, he looks all right, decent, yeah. I think he'll do a good job.
I think that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. You look a bit reliable.
You look at reliable, you know, in the context of windscreen replacement.
Well, that's a big thing, isn't it?
Did you watch the Christmas cookery shows much? Do you
no,
bother with
them?
No,
I don't go for any of that. I don't watch food on television. Why would you do that?
Is that because they never use tin stuff and do you?
It's partly that, but it's also because why watch something that you can't have? The same reason I didn't used to watch Baywatch.
I really like watching them. I want to become a TV. That's my ambition, to become a TV chef.
Is it?
Yeah, no, I've got a plan in hand.
Can
as
you
well.
Cook?
Yeah, not bad.
Seriously?
I mean, can the Harry Bakers cook? Can Nigella cook? I don't know.
Well, yeah.
If you're on telly doing a cookery show, you can cook, can't
you? That's it. That's part of my problem. You've got no idea what this shit tastes like, have you?
No idea.
You know, they could just be pretending to eat it and enjoying it, and it's fucking horrible.
I mean, I must say...
Greg Wallace lets the mask slip a bit. He doesn't look like he's enjoying it when
sometimes,
he's eating stuff.
Yeah. He gets a bit... I mean, one of the cookery shows I've been on a few times is the one called Sunday Brunch.
Yeah.
And I can say that the stuff that Simon Rimmer... gives you, it is absolutely delicious.
It's all right, is it?
No, it's not. It's really delicious.
Cut above.
And I was on there 1 week, and there was he's such a lovely man. There was a chef, but he's lost one of his hands.
Right.
He's got a posh restaurant down in Devon somewhere, and he cooked like, it was such a simple thing. Like, you know when you're watching it, and say, well, he's put chicken in, this, that. But if I did that, it would be no big deal. He hasn't done anything magical or whatever.
Yeah.
But he served that up, and it was the most memorable dish I've ever had in my life. And he cooked it in about 6 minutes.
How did he lose his hand?
I'm not sure. I'm not being funny. He's
no, I'm not being funny either. But that's the question that I'm asking.
So yeah, but if
I'm
that
more
helps
interested in how he lost his hand.
Well, than
anything else.
But I just no, Andy. I'm just saying. I want you to maybe use that information to say no. Don't be this so fucking cynical, right? And you're thinking, I bet it tastes shit. I bet that's shit anyway. How do we know whether that tastes any good?
I'm not saying I bet it tastes shit. I'm just saying it might do.
Yeah. Well,
we don't know.
My experience is that no, they're really good at what they do.
Right. Well, that's me putting my place once again, isn't it? I've been on telly, says Bob, and I've eaten this stuff, and I can tell you that it's all nice.
Who's your favourite TV chef?
I ain't got one.
Oh, come on, Andy. Don't be Mr. Difficult. Do you prefer Oliver, Michael Rowe?
Oh, no, him. Does he beat his staff or something? Was that?
I don't think he beats people up, does Andy, no. I mean, Nigella, you'd have thought she would be on your street.
I quite like Nigella, yeah. I quite imagine her sitting either on or inside a rabbit hutch.
All right, fair enough.
Behind the grill. Begging to be freed.
I can see you're not going for it.
I'm going for it.
I quite like James Martin, you know.
Do you?
I imagine people don't. He's got fast cars, fast ladies.
Fast lifestyle.
And he's
a little bit like Simon Templar.
He's the nearest thing on
the chef scene anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the moment. I mean, I might sort of get on the chef scene. You might get on the chef scene.
I'm going on the chef scene.
You're going on it, are you?
Come with
me. Is it confirmed?
I can't give too many details about it.
Can I come with you? Could I be like a sidekick?
I will be doing outdoor cookery that is heart healthy.
Yeah? I could gather the ingredients. Maybe it's in a costume.
I don't need an ingredients gatherer, honestly. You get provided them.
Can I be the taster?
No.
You can call us the freak if you want.
Stop trying to get work, please. And also, I'm brewing a new beer, which I'm going to call Andy Kiss the Alderman.
Are you?
Yeah. And that's got an ingredient that is as effective as aspirin in taking the stickiness out of your blood for people who suffer from heart disease. So I've got some big plans for the year.
Is it going to taste like the Alderman's breath?
No, it'll taste much worse than that. It's a beautiful breath. It's been so long since I spoke about Steve and Casper, but we last left them, I don't know if you remember, they were driving away from the restaurant.
Yeah,
yeah.
They run off
the restaurant called the House of Yesterday's Briefcase, yeah?
Yeah.
He's rescued Casper from the clutches of the fat lass. She's lying on the restaurant floor having a fit with her legs banging on the table, right?
Yeah.
So Steve realises it's not safe to drive back to the house because the big lass is going to be on the warpath, yeah?
Yeah.
So he checks into a 5-star, you imagine that, posh country hotel.
I can't imagine that, no.
That they pass on the back roads.
I don't go higher than 3-star.
I mean, why shouldn't he stay 5-star, Andy? He's got Casper back, new contract with Derby.
200 grand more than he thought he was going to have.
Exactly. So the hotel is called L'Escalier de Kenneth, which means the stairs, I think the stairs, Kenneth stairs? The stairs belonging to
the
Kenneth?
The stairs of Kenneth, right.
It's obviously a French one. Check in, the receptionist is French. She says, oh la la, monsieur, j'adore votre petite tête oiseau. Right? That means I adore your little head bird. And, oh, Steve's a head bird, don't be daft. Vous êtes un Rodney Plonker, honestly. That's me hair island. My hair island, c'est mon île de chevaux. There once was a manager who had a wonderful idea to invent a type of hairstyle that others would revere. He fed the front of his hairline with lipids and proteins till a horn of hair developed in the shape of New Orleans. It was his hair island, his hair island. He separated this outcrop from the rest of his mane, took one look in the mirror and promptly went insane. It's his hair island. It's my hair island. Honestly, you plonker. So they go upstairs. It's a lovely deluxe room. I tell you what, in this story I'm telling you now, you know, I always plant something that is used later on.
I hadn't noticed that.
See if you can spot
it. I don't really usually listen.
Fair enough.
I kind of zone out when you're doing your stories. Think about me direct debits.
It's a lovely deluxe room, fourth floor with a little balcony.
Right.
14 assorted cushions on the bed.
The cushions, is that the thing you've planted, the cushions?
No.
Sorry.
Walk-in shower, jet spa bath, night chocolates. You know the vibe, Andy. Have you seen that sort of place?
No.
Right, well, I hope I've given you a flavour of it. Steve gets his kit off, puts Casper over his shoulder, and they both have a lovely shower, right? They pour mango and Stilton shampoo all over each other. Steve always has it with him, right? It's in, do you know those, I don't know what they're made of, a spherical bottle that's really, you could always use as, like, China porcelain?
You could lob them at someone.
Yeah, but it's like a football.
In a ridge, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a football, and he always has his Stilton and mango shampoo. Casper winds himself round the shower hose and swings from one side of the shower to the other. Steve draws an outline of the fat lass in the condensation, pisses all over it. I'm having a lovely time, and why not, you know what I mean? Then Steve puts on one of the luxury toweling gowns and, like, wraps the belt round and round Casper so that he feels special too, do you know what I mean? They decide to get room service. Steve orders beans on toast for three, because he didn't eat at the restaurant.
Right.
Remember, he just had, she owned the fat lass, only let him have custard, was it, or something?
Bit of custard off the kids' menu, wasn't it?
Yeah. So Steve orders beans on toast for three, and Casper gets himself hot dog. Steve starts talking to Casper. So I've gone back to Derby, Casper. It's an easy street gig, you know, destroy and exit. And the chairman has great links to the carpet industry. Maybe when I'm sacked, he can set me up with a job in carpeting as part of my payoff. Hey, and he's given me 200 grand to pay for an assistant. Suddenly, Andy, there's a loud, heavy banging on the door of his room. Yeah?
Should I do that?
Try it if you could. It was louder than that, sorry.
Oh, shit, the paneling's come off.
That's it there.
Right.
Oh, shit, Casper, it's fat lass. What are we going to do? Then from outside. I open up your watery twat. I know you're in there. Oh, fucking hell, Casper, she's going to kill us. Boom, boom, boom. Steve answers the door. Casper goes and hides in the shower. She rushes past him and immediately sees the beans on toast.
Yeah.
Oh, just what the doctor fucking ordered. And she starts downing the beans on toast, like one slice by slice. Oh, these beans are a total fucking tonic. I felt well raged after that restaurant. Bloke said I had a fit or something. Sorry I had to leave so suddenly, love. I got an urgent call from... But she interrupts. Oh, fuck off and shut up. Just fuck off. Shut up. Now, where is that snake? Or better still, where's my £200,000? Oh, Casper must have escaped at the restaurant. I've not seen him. I can get the money by tomorrow, I promise. I don't believe you. He's in here, isn't he? You don't eat hot dogs. They're far too heavy for you to pick up. Oh, hold on. I've got a right sweat on eating those fucking beans.
She goes over the balcony door, you know, to get some air. She's got a big sweat on.
Yeah.
Suddenly, out of the corner of his eye, Steve sees Casper coming out of the shower room. He's got the football shampoo, and he's using it, his head, to play keepy uppy with it, yeah?
Yeah.
Then he heads it really high up in the room, and as it falls, he lashes his tail at it, right? Smacks it straight towards the balcony, hits the fat lass plumb on the back of her head, and sends her flying over the balcony down to the ground floor below. Get in, Casper, you little beauty. And Casper smiles like as Steve's picking him up. That's quite a technique you got there, lad. Hey, how would you feel about coaching job at Derby? Casper licks Steve's face as if to say, I fancy it very busted much, thank you.
As if to say.
So, there you go. Fat lass is okay, by the way. She fell into a topiary langoustine or something. Just a broken leg. So, Andy.
Yeah.
I wonder if Casper will get that job. I don't know.
Well, I think it'll be a bit of a stitch-up if he does. There'll be questions asked.
Yeah, well, it's
I mean, it's like McLaren giving his son a scouting job or something, isn't it?
Well, that's not going to happen, is it?
No, it's not.
Do you think that story was a bit like Home Alone, Lost in New York?
Ah, what, like not quite as good as the story from before? The next segment was recorded before the sad death of George Michael. Okay? Okay. Been to the darts.
Oh, right, yo.
At the Ali Pali this week.
Yeah.
And I was sat there in one of the tables near the front, sat next to a bloke dressed as a lobster.
Right.
A big fat bloke dressed as a weeble.
Yeah.
And as a fella dressed as a Rubik's Cube. He couldn't even see his face. It's just all cube. Huge cube, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the effort these people put in, it's incredible, isn't it?
No, I love it. I mean, it's very much part of the experience of watching, isn't it?
So I'm outside having a smoke and the Rubik's Cube and the weeble come out. One of the squares opens up on the front of the Rubik's Cube, the red one, red square.
Yeah.
Guess who it was?
Oh, fuck off. It was Jeremy Corbyn. Corbyn.
He says,
at the darts.
He says, seen you. Says, all right, yeah. Seen you in there. Think you're one of the ordinary folk, don't you? With your picture of UK strength lager, holding your handwritten sign up for the cameras. What did it say on your sign? Says, it said, I kissed the alderman. Hmm. Do you play darts then yourself? Because I do! Says, yeah, I've got a board in the house. I'm not that good, but, you know, just, I like to go. Well, I am. I'm very, very good. Very good indeed. Because darts is the ordinary man's game, and I am nothing if not in touch with the ordinary man. Ask me my best score. Ask me. Go on. Says, What's your best score, Jeremy? 259.
Right.
259. Says, you do know the maximum you can get in darts with three darts is 180, yeah. Right? He goes, 259, ask him. He points at the weeble. It's with him. And then the weeble fella says, it was down at my house in my plug room. Well, didn't him do it? 259, three darts. Now wind your neck in, pretty boy. And I recognise this weeble fella.
I thought I recognised the voice. I'm not sure, but I'll find out, sorry.
Well, I recognised him facially.
Right.
But I couldn't think where I'm from, so I says, who are you anyway? Corbyn says, don't you know? This is my good friend Andrew Ridgely from Wham.
Ah, from Wham, yeah.
I says, oh, of course, yeah. He says, look, I was in Wham for 4 years, 7 months and 23 days until it finished. I says, I was a bit of a fan. I don't remember your voice sounding like that back then, you know, in the interviews. He says, look, mate, I've done fuck all since 1986. If you've done fuck all since 1986, you'd sound like this as well. Okay. So,
why does he sound like that?
I just let myself go. Oh. 30 years.
Okay, fair enough, all right.
So when all this is going on, Corbyn takes a phone call. Andrew, we must dash. Billy Bragg needs our help. He tried to go for a shit, but he couldn't get the lobster suit off in time. We must hurry. Ridgely goes, oh, for fuck's sake. So they just dashed off. And I went back in and watched Dave Chisnell.
You watched Chizzy Chisnell?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
First round match, 1-3-2.
So 2-5-9, well, he didn't do it.
He says he got 2-5-9 with three darts. That's not possible. You can get 1-5-4 Brit in snooker.
Yeah.
Not a 1-4-7. You can get a
1-5-4. What, with some sort of false shot or something?
Yeah, that's a trick you can do, yeah. But 2-5-9's not possible,
is
it?
Have you ever got a 180 at darts?
Nah.
No, best I've had is a treble 19, a double 19, and a double top. I can't remember where it was, but it's a really
good
score.
What were you doing down the 19s?
I always do the 19s.
You get more for the 20s. Oh, you can't reach the 20.
Well, no, if you're going to... No, you don't... Yeah, you get more for the 20, but if you're more consistently going to hit the 19s, then go for the 19s, I say.
You get laughed out of the pub doing that.
Yeah?
Yeah,
who has the last laugh though? Who leaves with the fucking side of brisket?
Not you.
The victory meat. Yeah, me.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare.
PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You mentioned the Daft Kids then.
I did.
You did mention Daft Kids, and it reminds me, I was up Stockton-on-Tees, saw the Alderman over the Christmas period.
Right.
Would you like to hear about that, Andy?
I suppose it would kill a bit of time, Bob.
Do you like it when I talk more northern toward you?
It sounds unusual.
I was up in Newcastle. It was during my tour, actually. We were playing Newcastle.
Your
tour? Tour.
Tour, sorry.
2 days, so I had a whole day to fill up.
I came to see you.
Did you come?
Yeah, I tried ringing you to see if you wanted to meet up.
No, I would have said no anyway.
But you didn't take the calls.
I'll tell you what, though. The second night in Newcastle were funny.
Oh, I went the first night.
Oh, man, it was funny.
Was it?
The funniest live
concert.
Better
than the second, better than the first one.
Oh, I hope the first one was all right.
Can I get a part refund on the first one now?
But we lost it on the second one. And I'd never realised, because, I mean, I really mean we lost it for about 10 minutes. We couldn't speak.
Right.
And I'd never, and it's so infectious, so the whole city all lost it as well.
Right.
It's like, it's a very magical thing.
It's nice to hear. I'm pleased I missed that.
Okay, so we had...
Nice to hear you talking about your craft there. Sorry, carry on.
I had a whole day to fill up in the northeast, took some photos and that and everything.
Yeah.
But I'd arranged with the town clerk to pop down to Stockton and do a charity Christmas dinner to raise money to buy a trampoline, actually, Andy. To buy a trampoline, actually, Andy, for the Daft and Dreary Kids charity.
Oh, bless them.
Yeah. Now, it was held quite a posh hotel just outside Stockton.
Yep.
I was sat at top table with Alderman, Town Clerk, Vicar with the breath stinks of bleach, you know, Head of Town Planning, Head of Social Services, and Biffy Clyro was there as well. So it's a good do, quality do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, Andrew, the Alderman looks he looked amazing, Andy, I ain't kidding. Instead of his usual blazer and slacks, right, he had a sort of country and western look going, yeah?
Mm.
He had, like, sky blue Pepe jeans with that little kick flare. He wore them quite short on the leg, though, to reveal his cherry red cowboy boots underneath.
Yeah.
And they were really figure-hugging round his arse. Honestly, I doubt you could have slipped a credit card in there, never mind your hand, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
On top, he was wearing tight cream round-neck cashmere jumper and a gold and green silk neckerchief. Fancy, innit?
Nice.
But a lovely touch was he had a bright gold Timex watch worn over the sleeve of his jumper.
That's a good move.
Innit, though? It's very striking. Anyway, so at the end of the meal, there was a bit of a show. Some of the Daft Kids did some tumbles and forward rolls, you know. Got that out of the way. Biffy Clyro got up and he painted, drew a nativity scene on his face with his pens, you know what I mean? The vicar with the bleach breath did some close-up magic, which was fucking torture.
Can I just stop you? Go back to Biffy Clara. Does he do this with the help of a mirror, or can he just do it freestyle?
No, he's not very good, but it's freestyle, yeah. Instinctive.
Hell. Sorry, carry on.
Anyway, final piece, though, was a gospel choir, and I like them, and they came on, and they're called the Daft Kids Singers.
Right.
Right? When they're performing in the charity. They're not Daft Kids at all, but they're proper pucker gospel singers, and they did some pop tunes. Do you know Slave to the Rhythm? Slave to the Rhythm.
Grace Jones.
Grace Jones, yeah.
I do.
So what's the next bit? Slave to the Rhythm.
Slave to the Rhythm.
Oh, no, it's a different word. It goes Slave to the Rhythm.
To the Rhythm.
Dance to... It's not Slave again. Anyway, they did it. Did that beautifully. And then they ended up with... gospel, though, it was Panic on the Streets of London,
yep.
Birmingham, I wondered
Stockton.
To... Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Then I sensed, sort of sixth sense, something above my head. Something's happening above my head, and I look up, and I see a big, massive clump of mistletoe being lowered from the ceiling by... he's up there by one of the most chimp-like of the Daft Kids. He's really, you know...
A climber.
As it comes down, suddenly everybody's joined in and they stand up for the chorus. But they've changed it to "Kiss the Alderman, kiss the Alderman, kiss." Oh, it's set up for me. Kiss the Alderman, and blah blah blah.
So are they singing this at you?
All the swearing like gospel. Kiss the Alderman.
What can you do? You're caught up in the emotion of the moment, don't you?
Fucking right. So I do. I do kiss him, yeah. And it lasts right through the next verse and chorus. Right, it's saliva. Still, to be honest with you, tasted the stuffing. With a little bit of sherry.
No wrong with that.
Best Christmas present I could ever wish for, Andy.
What, even better than a tip maintenance kit?
Andy, I've got to ask, although you don't never go along with it, did you think that story was a bit like the film Oliver with Mark Lester?
No.
All right, fair enough.
Can I be Scouse for a minute?
Yeah, go on.
Nader!
Nice one.
Changed it from...
Could you do a product that's called something like Nicely Scouse?
What, say that?
I know,
Scouse.
I'm just thinking, like, and you know, like, it kind of exploited that, so that if you wanted a moment of Scouse... Now, Nicely...
Like a mouth
word.
Spray that would turn you Scouse?
Yeah, so you could just say... It's, or a matchbox you opened and it said something for you.
Soup. I think you've got to, it's got to be a voice-changing product, hasn't it? A voice-changing spray. That we'll get that with 3D printing and stuff in the future.
So you'll be able to
you'll
print
able to
an
get
accent. Voiced,
you print an accent and put it in a bottle and then spray it in your mouth and you'll be able to do the accent.
So you'll be able to print individual words and phrases?
Yeah. And then pour
and
them,
you eat
and
them.
Then liquidise them, put them into a bottle.
Well, that's a
and
rare...
And that'll make actors redundant because anyone will be able to become an actor then.
It's a brave new world you envisage there,
isn't it? You sound terrified of it.
I am terrified of it, yeah.
Well, get used to it, pal, because it's coming. Nader! Listen.
Yeah?
I'm going to keep this short. It's 2017.
Right.
In a minute.
Okay.
So it's time to start making smart decisions because 2016 has been a shit show.
Oh, are you doing your razor again?
After picking up 100,000 members, Cornerstone are now so confident that once men try their razor and shaving products, they won't go back to their old razor. So now you can get an award-winning razor from just £4 with £10 off. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk/mince or visit cornerstone.co.uk and enter code mince at checkout to get started. 100,000 men, Bob. That's an army. That's an army. Never run out of blades again. Never shopping for razors again. Smooth, comfortable shave. It doesn't say so here, but it's a six-blader, and I reckon you could shave a pig down with that.
All right. And that what you is that how you judge razors? Whether they shave if you know they shave a pig, they'll probably do you. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what else would you?
All right, Cornerstone. Honestly, Andy, thank you for that information. Is there anything you want? Anything athletic or mince-related, though, that you want to tell me about?
I've got a song this week.
Yeah?
Would you like to hear my song?
What, are we going to finish with a song, you mean?
Oh, I've got some more footballers in the wild that people have sent in.
I don't know what that means, but, you know, let's have it.
The footballers that they've spotted out and about.
Okay.
A fella called Iron Mike says, I saw Daryl Yanmat with a piping bag, piping the phrase, not for human consumption, on the wall of Vicarage Road, with a dark green paste. Someone called Mr. Nasty on Twitter said, I saw John Joe Shelby juggling some eggs in the doorway of Tesco while singing the theme to It Ain't Off Hot Mum.
Nice.
And Ian from Down the Houses says, I saw Adnan Yanazai queuing up to get his knob pierced and then bottling it at the last minute. Ian says, I watched him do this 5 times in a 3.5 hour period.
Well, you can't knock him for that. You're not knocking him
I
for that,
I wouldn't go ahead with it. I mean, it's right. Tempting, but once you get to the front there and the fella gets the stuff out, yeah. You know, the machine...
Is it a machine? What was
it's
he going to get done?
His knob.
Pierced.
Oh, what God, they call it, Prince Albert.
Isn't that where they slice it down in half or something?
I don't know. I've never gotten that far. I've only ever gotten to the front of the queue. No, not me. Adnan Yanazai. It wasn't me.
No, no, really.
It wasn't me.
I would like to ask you if you've got anything for the new year that you intend to do differently in your life, because I think that it, you know, you should be asked that every now and then.
Like a resolution. I'd like to become one of them YouTube pranksters in the new year, I think.
Was the fella, I know this will be old news by then, but I saw there was a fella saying he'd been thrown off an aeroplane.
Yeah, he was one of them.
Was that just a lie?
I think it probably was, yeah. He was just sort of pissing about. He'd been pissing about and then they threw him off the plane for pissing about.
Right, yeah.
That's a good thing. It's good that YouTube pranksters have been thrown off aeroplanes.
Yeah.
That's good, but I want to be an ethical YouTube prankster.
Yeah, but if it's ethical, it won't be worth watching, will it? What are you going to do? Sweep the road or something?
I don't know, maybe he's like tip a car over.
Well, a couple of mates.
Well, what's ethical about that? Is it your car?
Well, it'd be like a baddie's car.
Oh, if it's a baddie's car, then that's fine, yeah.
And film it, put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then the last laugh will be on the baddie.
Yeah. The baddie will come back and he won't have a getaway car.
Exactly.
So he'll be captured.
Yeah. So there we are. That's my ambition for 2017. How about yourself? Have you got anything lined up?
Well, I don't know whether I've mentioned it already, but I intend to become a TV chef.
You did mention that, yeah.
I intend to brew a heart-friendly lager. You know, why not?
Yeah. You didn't give a shit about hearts before you actually became ill, did you?
Well,
I never saw you doing any sort of charity work or any raising awareness about hearts. But once it starts to affect you personally, you're all over it, aren't you?
Andy, I didn't say I was doing charity work.
It's the same thing.
No, I'm not.
Raising awareness, then.
I'm not giving me heart-friendly lager away, do you know what I mean?
Oh, right, okay.
But I'd like to think, when I think of you sat on your poof watching your little telly, drinking your lager and eating your chicken dippers and your buttered bread. Are you one of those northerners who has buttered bread with everything?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just have a spoonful of butter in between breads.
All right, so it's a buttery life you lead, yeah?
It is, yeah.
Well, I mean, think of your heart and you're not thinking of it. So if I could help you because you could still drink this lager.
It's quite hot. Right. You've been through what you've been through, right? Think about my perspective. It's quite hard to think about your heart when you can't see it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And that's the danger, isn't it?
It's the unseen killer.
Yeah. The visual you, Andy, you know, like the visual you, you clearly don't give a shit about. You're not a
and
gym
I look
man.
Great, don't I?
Oh, you look absolutely standard.
Standard?
Yeah. You know, but that's the visual you, but the hidden you, if you ignore it, and that includes your heart, then the visual you will be destroyed ultimately.
Right. Ethically?
Did I say ethically?
I don't know. Would it be,
I think that my words are an ethical and organic approach to your body care.
Right.
Does that make you feel
more... I feel
more...
a bit unusual about you saying body care.
Body maintenance. Mm. Oh, it's one thing. Right, Andy, you've got a tack, right?
Yeah.
A tit accessory kit?
Yeah.
Tit apprehension?
It's accessory kit.
Accessory kit.
Maintenance kit, like I said.
So that's...
Well, I went and bought my own, yeah.
That's your visual body, isn't it?
It is.
You look at your tits, you clean your tits, you wear your tits, you buff your tits, you heat your tits, you cool your tits, you protect your tits from frost.
Yes.
Just because you can see them.
But what is powering my tits, Bob?
What's powering your tits?
My heart.
Your heart? Is that what I'm trying to tell you?
Look at my tits. Is this the product of an unhealthy heart? Look at them. Have I got a... Hang on, I'll pull my shirt
So
up.
What are you saying? Oh, Jesus, fucking wept. Andy, those tits have got roots that go to your heart?
Well, they're just in front of where my heart is, aren't they? So, obviously, they're powered by my heart.
Yeah, but does your heart want to be spending its time powering your high-maintenance tits?
Would my heart be upset by powering something as aesthetically gorgeous as this?
Yeah.
Of course it wouldn't. If it didn't enjoy it, it would make them all wonky.
Well, It's trying to do its frickin' job, innit? It's trying to do its job.
I didn't ask for these.
Yeah. You do realise that what they say is that take a look at your tits if you're a man, yeah?
Yeah.
Grab one of those tits, yeah?
Yeah.
And that will equal the amount of fat that is surrounding your heart at the moment, restricting it and restricting the vessels
who
around it.
Who says this?
I say this.
You just made this up.
No, I haven't made it up. I'm sorry.
Who said it originally? What's your source?
Well, all right, it's probably in the British Medical Journal, but I haven't actually got me with the fucking footnote here with
probably
me.
Probably fucking take a break or something.
But I intend to keep on enjoying my crime club.
Yeah.
During the new year, keep on watching The Box nearly every night, brew me beer, become a TV chef.
Yeah, so it's keep on keeping on, basically, isn't
it? Yeah. So let's hear your song and let's say Happy New Year.
I'm going to end with a song. It's still Christmas, technically, isn't it? So this is a song about the baby Jesus and the Nativity.
Yeah.
But little Jimmy Jesus in the manger, and it's about how he cried and cried and cried when he was born.
All right.
Sad.
Before you sing this, I have to ask you, I'm required to by the good people here at Audio Boom, because it's a religious thing, would you sing the song about Muhammad? I just need to check.
Would it be the baby Muhammad?
I don't... I haven't... Sing your song. Let's not tell. There's hardly any staff here today, is there?
No, it's just us.
Okay.
Oh, how I wish I was there with Jimmy Jesus in his lair. But he won't stop crying because he's sad. Gifts galore from three kings, but he's miserable as sin. Even though he's planet Earth's most famous lad. Cheer up, Jimmy Jesus. How good will it be to be in all the papers and on the BBC? Cheer up, Jimmy Jesus. Just you wait and see. There's no need to queue for haircuts and your dinners are free. Cheer up, Jimmy Jesus. All your mates are fab. Except that Pontius Pilate, he's a scheming little twat. Cheer up, Jimmy Jesus. We all think you're cool, 'cause you invented Christmas, so stop acting like a tool. There you go,
yeah.
See, it was nice. It was a nice song, wasn't it?
I don't know. Why are you accusing him of acting like a tool? I'd have
missed
something.
Sad. He's crying in the manger.
Oh, cheer up.
Cheer up, Jimmy Jesus.
So, literally, the little baby were talking about then.
That's sort of projecting into his future.
He is going to get all the papers, though.
All the papers and on the BBC.
And on the BBC. That's amazing.
I could do an alternative version of that chorus if you want.
No.
Cheer up, Jimmy Jesus. How good will it be to be in all the papers and on the ITV? I'll cut that bit out at the end.
I don't know whether on my deathbed they'll say, "Hey, Bob, I know you're about to go, but they're doing a special show about you, your career."
Yeah.
On the ITV.
Yeah.
Or whether I'd rather say they're doing a special show about you on that Channel 5. Doing a lovely tribute to you on BBC One. It's probably
you'd
what you'd want,
BBC
innit?
One, wouldn't you?
Probably.
Although Channel 5 did a nice one about Pete Burns after he died.
Yeah. That Do you think nice. I'm going to be Channel 5 or worse?
I'm trying to work out whether you're as famous as Pete Burns or not. Right now, 50-50, I reckon.
50-50.
Yeah. If you become a TV chef, you might get the ITV
If I get the TV
one.
Chef, I might get the ITV, mightn't I? Yeah. Maybe, or ITVB might do one. Have you seen that channel?
I thought that was for women.
Yeah, I think I've got an appeal to
women.
Are men
allowed to watch that?
Yeah, I watch it quite a lot. Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Right.
I like it.
Okay.
Did you not see John Bishop's show on it? His interview show.
Oh, was it like the new Michael Parkinson?
Yeah,
it was
quite
David
quite,
Frost.
It was quite serious. Yeah,
I imagine there would be with being John Bishop.
What's your favourite character off the David Williams new sketch show?
Is there a one that where there's like vomit and stuff?
No, have you not watched it?
I've not watched it.
Well, why didn't you just say you've not watched it?
I just assumed there'd be one with vomit.
No, there's
Is the one that's a bit racist?
If you haven't watched, no, not at all.
Is it a good show?
Eh?
Is it a good show?
I haven't seen it either.
You haven't seen it either?
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
I've taped it.
Have you not been invited on to be the friend?
No, it's like, as you say, I'm down there with... Not down there. I'm with Pete Burns now, and it's BBC One, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they're not going to have Harry Enfield. Sheridan Smith, is that someone? Is that a person?
I think so, yeah.
And then Pete Burns on show three, are they?
Well, they've got Pete Burns on because he's deed.
Yeah, I don't realise that, Andy, but I'm trying to
make
an
either.
Analogy. Right. But when I'm that TV chef, though, you're right, you know what I mean?
You've got it all to play for, Bob.
I might even get on Children in Need and I can dance with the weather girls. Do you know what I mean? Or the newsreaders.
Kinda.
And I'm hoping to do Strictly Come Dancing this year as well.
Are you? Yeah. Are you putting it out there now, are you?
Yeah.
That you'd like to be asked to do
I'm
this?
Getting in there early, yeah.
Again, I'm going to say I think you're sort of below that level now. Celebrity Big Brother, perhaps?
Well, who was on this year?
Maybe it's the ordinary Big Brother.
I mean, I watched Strictly and I didn't know many of them were. Do you think no one knows who I am? I think no one knows who I am. The nation would just go, who's that balding bloke there?
Yeah, they think you're one of the professional dancers.
The Will the Way I Dance. The Will the Way I Dance.
Does Bear Grylls not do a thing where he takes celebrities and sort of kicks the shit out of them in the woods?
Yeah,
I'd watch that if you were on that.
Would you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not doing it for you. I'm not just doing it for you, Andy.
Because you could forage for ingredients for your fucking heart.
Yeah.
Food show while you were in the woods, couldn't you? Some berries and that, while Bear Grylls kicks the shit out of you.
So that's heart health, is it? Burries?
Yeah.
As you call them.
I assume so, yeah.
You bad heart, sir. Have a burry. You'll need some burry rub.
Are we done?
Happy New Year to you, Andy. Happy New Year to all our listeners.
Yeah. Happy New Year, everyone. I forgot to ask you about the fucking annuity again.
Joe, actually, they've took an injunction. Seriously, and they took an injunction out against me. It's called a Carrington injunction.
Right.
And it's the weirdest thing because, like, they've taken an injunction out on me. Usually you can only get an injunction if what you're going to print or what you're going to say is untrue. Yeah? Yeah. Is not the truth. Yeah. They accept that it's the truth. They've already been paying me for it to keep it quiet, right?
Yeah.
But there's this thing called a Carrington injunction where if the damage caused to the institution, even though it's true, would put that institution's existence in doubt, you can get this thing called a Carrington injunction. They fucking took one out against me. Shit myself. It's those solicitors who would do Princess Di's mob. So I get a letter from them.
Fuck off.
No, really.
I'm not putting that in the podcast.
You should put that bit in, Andy.
Yeah, I'll put it after the music at the end.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.